Vayter in Shas. We are Maseches Yevamos, very beginning of Seder Noshim, a tremendous mazel tov for all those who finished Maseches Chagiga and for those who finished Maseches Moed, and may this continue, Beis Hashem, go Michayel Lechayel. Let us begin. So we're going to see a number of different introductions as we go along with this. First and foremost, to know, what is a Yevamos? What is this all about? So we know that there's, I'm going to repeat myself a few times, but here we go. There is something known as a Yevam, that is that if a man is married to a woman and they don't have any children and the man dies, the woman doesn't just go out to somebody else. If the man has any brothers, then she would then fall to go ahead and marry one of the brothers. Even though there's generally an issue, an isser, known as Ashes Ach, that you're not allowed, two brothers can't marry the same woman, put aside and suspended, as we'll see there in the Masechta, where this is coming from, in such a circumstance. So they go ahead and they get married. And that's known as Yibum. If for some reason they decide that he doesn't want to get married to her, he doesn't want to go ahead and continue on his brother's name, then he does something called Chalitza, where they go ahead and they separate from one another through an act called Chalitza. Now, important to understand that this principle only applies if it's brothers from the same father. If they happen to be brothers from the same mother, but not the same father, this doesn't apply altogether, and they're also to get married to each other, and therefore, in such an instance, if this woman's husband would die, and he has a brother from a mother, then she just goes out. There's no thing where we do Yibum or Chalitza. There are exceptions to this rule, though. One of these exceptions is known as if this woman, let's say you have, I want to just apologize to all the Reuven, Shimon's, Levi's, Yehuda, Yisachar, to all the Shvatim, as well as to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We're going to be using these names a lot. Very kedai to get a safe where you're going to have charts over here, because Yevamos is about holding cup. Just make sure you know exactly what we're talking about, where we are. So here's the deal. Let's say Reuven is and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon is married to Sarah. Now what happens is, let's say Shimon dies and they have no children, so Sarah would fall to Reuven. But let's say for some reason Reuven is usher to Sarah for another reason other than Eishes Ach. That is, they are related in another way. Then what ends up happening is you don't have to do Yibum or Chalitza. If this is known as they are in Erva, if there's going to be Usser for Sarah to be with Reuven for some reason, then you don't need Yibum or Chalitza, they're off the hook. So, for example, let's say Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven has a daughter named Sarah, and Shimon's married to his niece named Sarah, which is totally mutter, and then Shimon dies, Sarah doesn't fall to Reuven because that's her father, and that's in Isser Erva, so there's nothing to talk about, that's done, and they move on. She goes out. Now, that's one particular circumstance. Now, besides that, we know that really make her a din, a man is allowed to have more than one wife. So let's say a man is married to a woman, right? So you have Shimon is married to Sarah and to Rivka. So these Rivka, Sarah and Rivka to each other, they are called tsaros. That is the Lashon. It's called a co-wife. It's known as a tsara. They're called tsaros one to the next. So when this issue happens where Shimon dies, both Sarah and Rivka will fall to Reuven. However, like we used the case we used before, let's say Sarah is Reuven's daughter. So then she's off the hook. And also the tsara is off the hook as well. And that would be Rivka as well, is now out and doesn't have to go on to get married to do Yibam or Chalitza. They're just done. Now, this is assuming there's no other brothers. If there's another brother named Levi over there, if he exists, then they have to go to Levi. They don't go to Reuven because Sarah is Reuven's daughter and Rivka is Sarah's co-wife. Therefore, by virtue of connection there, she's off the hook from being with Reuven as well. But if Shimon had another brother named Levi, then they have to both fall to him and do either Yibam or Chalitza. Now, what's interesting is not only is the Tsara off the hook, but once the Tsara is off the hook, she's now off the hook indefinitely, forever. And therefore, anyone that's connected to her is also off the hook. Example, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they're all brothers. Now, Reuven has a daughter named Sarah. Shimon gets married to Sarah and to Rivka. Shimon then dies. They now would fall, let's say, to Reuven, but no, they're off the hook to Reuven because of the fact that this is Sarah's the daughter of Reuven, and that Rivka also, by virtue of association, is that Sarah is off the hook to Reuven as well. Let's say, though, they end up going to marry Levi. They now marry Levi. And in the meantime, Sarah's out of the picture. She dies. She gets divorced. Who knows what? She's out of the picture. Now, Levi has another wife, right? Not only Sarah and Rivka, but now Rachel as well. Sarah dies. She's out of the picture. And now let's say Levi dies and there's no children as well. Interesting. What happens now? So now, since we know that Rivka was usher to Reuven because she was a tsara, a co-wife to Sarah, therefore, and Sarah's the daughter, therefore Rivka was out, therefore now Rachel is also out and not connected to Reuven, because in fact, it is known they say tsaros, tsaros sayan. And this continues on and on and on. Let's say Levi dies and they marry Yehuda, and then now the original wife is gone, Sarah and Rivka are gone, but there's Rachel and now and Leah, and then they die. They also now it's tsaros, tsaros sayan, and so on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, as you see, it's good to have some charts over here, but let's go ahead now that with that introduction, we're going to start to see these cases. This Mishnah deals with 15 different cases that we're going to be going through, and with Hashem's help, we're going to be able to get through this. Here we go. So, Zakta Heilige, Heilige Mishnah. Chameshes Einoshim Potros Tzorosein. There are 15 different types of wives that are going to pater, they're going to exempt their tzoros, meaning there are 15 different arayos that can be connected to the live brother that's left over, that therefore this woman is not going to be going, that one of the wife is not going to be as an erva connected to the brother, and therefore the tsara is also not going to be connected as well. Now, like we mentioned, not only is it going to pater the tsaros, but also, so we have chamish dinashim potter tsarosein, vitsaros tsarosein, and also the connection, the co-wives of the co-wives, mina chalitza, mina yibam, at sofa olam. If it continues on and on, there's 45 brothers, and the wives keep going down the list, each one is going to be patering the next one based off the first one. The Elohein. And now let's break down what are the 15 cases. Case number one is called Bito, his daughter. Now, Rashi points out that the daughter we're talking about here is from an anus, meaning to say that Reuven goes ahead and he rapes a woman, not his wife. He rapes some woman, and then they have a daughter. That daughter's name is Sarah. And now, like we said before, the same case. Reuven has a brother named Shimon, and he has a daughter named Sarah. Shimon marries Sarah, and he also marries Rivka. What happens is, then Shimon dies, leaving over Sarah and Rivka to go over to Yibam. They go to Reuven, but Reuven is the father of this raped, you know, his daughter, who he raped the mother and had a daughter now. So this... she's off the hook, obviously, with being her father because she's Ne'erva. And the Tzara, known as Rivka, is also off the hook as well. They don't have to do Yibam. They don't have to do Chalitza. They just go out, assuming there's no other brothers. Case number two is a Bas Bito. So again, the same case of Reuven rapes a woman. They have a daughter named, let's say, Sarah. And then she has a kid named Leah. So that's his granddaughter, but through rape. Then what happens? Leah, who's the granddaughter, goes and marries his brother named Shimon. Then Shimon goes and dies without any children. Leah, who doesn't do chalitza or yibam to her grandfather, Reuven, because it's also already an iser erva. That's case number two. Case number three, Ubas Beno. His son's daughter, again, a case of onus, where he was with a woman and he raped this woman. And Reuven, let's say, has a kid from this relationship named Yitzhak. And Yitzhak then has a daughter named Leah. And then the same case. Leah then goes and marries Shimon, who's a brother of Reuven. Shimon then dies without any children. And now Leah doesn't go to Reuven, which is her father's father, because again, like we said, like the pasuk speaks out. And therefore, she, and if she has a tzara named, let's say, Rivka, and tzara's tzarasa, paturos, they're going to be pater from doing yibam or chalitza. Case number four. Bas Ishto, his wife's daughter. Now, this doesn't have to be even his own here. We're talking about, let's say, he got married to a woman. That woman had a daughter from someone else. This woman is going to be usher to him now. It's an erva because you can't have a mother and a daughter that are married to the same person. This is going to be a nice, delicious case. So again, don't forget Reuven and Shimon are brothers over here. Reuven is married to this woman named Sarah. Now, Sarah has a daughter. this daughter came from another marriage, whatever. She had a husband. They had a daughter, and then the husband died. They got divorced. It's irrelevant. The point is that now Reuven marries Sarah, and a daughter comes in with them named Rivka. Reuven's brother named Shimon ends up marrying this girl named Rivka and another girl named Rachel. Shimon then dies. What happens is now Rivka and Rachel should fall to Reuven. The problem is that Rivka is the daughter of his wife, and Rachel is the co-wife of Rivka to Shimon. Therefore, they're both off the hook from Yibum or Chalitza. Or case number five, we know is Ubas Bina. Let's say, again, same case, you have Reuven is married to Sarah, and Sarah comes into the marriage with a kid, but this time it's not a girl, but rather a boy. And we'll name this boy Yitzchak. So when it happens, Yitzchak has a kid named Leah. So this is his step-son. Yitzchak has a daughter, so it's his step-granddaughter, Leah. Leah gets married to Shimon, and Shimon, who's the brother of Reuven, and he ends up having another wife, also Rachel, and then Shimon dies, and now what happens is Leah and Rachel should fall to the brother Reuven, their step-grandfather. Is Leah's step-grandfather, and Rachel's the co-wife. Problem is that because they're an erva, therefore they're off the hook, and so is Rachel as well, because as a tzara to Leah. And case number six, Ubas Bita, also the daughter's daughter, again, of this person's wife. So Reuven's married to a woman. Name, let's say we have over here, Reuven is married to Sarah. Sarah had a daughter that came in through the marriage from someone else named Rivka. And then Rivka had another daughter named Leah. And now Leah has a married Shimon, Reuven's brother, and Rachel marries also. Shimon ends up dying. Leah and Rachel are off the hook from being connected to Reuven because, again, it is an erva and a tzara. Case number seven is Chamoso, his mother-in-law. So, again, Reuven is married to Reuven and Shimon, you have brothers. Reuven is married to Rivka. And now Rivka's parents are Yitzchak and Sarah. Yitzchak ends up dying. Sarah, the mother-in-law, ends up getting married to Reuven's brother named Shimon. Shimon then dies, and now the mother-in-law gets thrown to him. In such a case, he can't be with her, and she's an erva, and therefore she's off the hook. There's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza, there's no nothing. And if there was a tzara involved, then also she's off the hook. Ve'em chamoso. If Reuven is married to Leah, Leah's a mother, Rivka. That's his mother-in-law. And then she has a mother named Sarah. That's his mother-in-law's mother. And his brother Shimon marries the mother-in-law's mother and another woman. And then Shimon ends up dying. Reuven can't be with his mother-in-law's mother. Therefore, she's off the hook. And her Sarah is off the hook as well. Next case is Eim Chamiv. That means Reuven's married to a woman who has a father. That's the father-in-law, and the father-in-law has a mother. And then Reuven's brother Shimon marries that mother, and then he dies, and there's a co-wife also. That can't go to Reuven. It's an erva, and therefore they're off the hook as well. That was case number nine. Achoso Meimo, his sister from his mother. This is case number 10. So you have Reuven and Shimon. This is quite the case, the way they spell it over here in this nice chart. But basically what happens is that Reuven has a, I guess let's take it from the top. Okay, I'm looking at a chart in Masifta here. So what you have is that there's this couple, and they're married, and they have a child named Shimon. Okay, and there's a different couple that are married, and they have a child named Sarah. So the names here, if you'd like to know the way I'm spelling it out from this chart, is you have someone named Leah and Yaakov. They're married together. They have a son named Shimon. They have another couple named Rachel and Yitzchak, and they have a child named Sarah. Now, Yitzchak ends up dying. So Yaakov, who's married to Leah on one side, and they have the son Shimon together, ends up marrying Rachel, who brings a daughter into the picture with her, named Sarah. Now, Yaakov and Rachel have a child together named Reuven. So Reuven and Sarah share a mother. And now what ends up happening is that Reuven's brother from the other side, from Yaakov and Leah, they share a father together, right? And that's what we know that Yibam is only works if it's Achos Av. So they're brothers. Now Shimon ends up marrying Sarah, who's Reuven's half-sister, right? Because they share a mother. get confused if it's half her step. I'm sorry, but they share a mother. And now what happens is that Shimon, Sarah get married, and they also married another woman, not in the picture over here, at Sarah. And now Shimon dies. So it's left over. Reuven has a sister named Sarah. They share a mother together. That's known as Achoso Me'imo. And therefore, he can't be with her. So therefore, there's no Yivam, there's no Chalitza. Next case, number 11, is Va'achos Imo, not Achoso, his sister from his mother, but rather his mother's sister, his aunt. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. They have to share a father. And then what happens is, but they don't share mothers. So Reuven is and mother are married, obviously. And his mother, no shaychus to Shimon, because he's from the father's side, not the mother's side. His mother has a sister. And now what happens is Shimon marries his brother Reuven's aunt, and then he marries another woman as well. Then Shimon dies, so now Reuven's aunt falls to him, which is an heir, but it's also to marry your aunt, as well as the other one, the other married woman, the Tzara. They're both off the hook. That's known as Achos Imo, case number 11. Case number 12, two brothers marry two sisters. So what happens is it's Achos Ishto, his wife's sister. So Reuven and Shimon are straight up brothers. Rachel and Leah are straight up sisters. Reuven marries Rachel. Shimon marries Leah. And Shimon gets married to another woman outside of this whole situation named Sarah. Shimon then dies, leaving over Leah, which is Reuven's sister-in-law, to him, as well as his other Tzara. They're off the hook because his sister's an Erva, and therefore there's no Yibam, there's Chalitza, and the Tzara is along with that as well. Case number 13, Ve'eshes Achiv Me'imo. All right, now this is a very interesting case. Eishes Achiv Me'imo means as follows. Get ready for this. This is going to be incredible. So, again, you got to get the chart. You really do. This is number 21 of the chart that I'm looking at. You have two couples, totally unrelated to each other. Everything's great. Yaakov and Leah get married. Rachel and Avram get married. Yaakov and Leah have a kid named Shimon. Rachel and Avram have a kid named Yitzchak. So, what ends up happening? Avraham dies. When he dies, Rachel is now left alone with little Yitzi. So she gets married to Yaakov, that other husband over there. So now Yaakov has two wives, Leah, with whom he has a child named Shimon, and Rachel, who has her own kid named Yitzchak. They have a kid in the meantime named Reuven. Now, Reuven and Yitzchak are brothers from the same mother. Reuven and Shimon are brothers from the same father. So Reuven and Yitzchak, brothers of the same mother, we know that there's something known as Eishes Ach, the wife of your brother, you're not allowed to marry, unless there's some special discrepancy known as Yibam or Chalitza, right, known as Yibam, but that only applies by Eishes Ach, your brother from your father that you could do Yibam. But if it's your brother from your mother, then anyone he marries, you're usher to. So what happens if Yitzchak gets married to Rivka? Rivka then, Yitzchak then dies. So now she should really fall to Reuven, but she doesn't because it's his brother from a mother and needs to be a brother from the father. If then his brother from his father named Shimon ends up marrying Rivka and another girl named Sarah from, you know, outside of this whole picture, and then Shimon dies, now Reuven and Shimon that are actually brothers from the same father, so now Rivka should fall to Reuven as well as Sarah. The only problem is that she was once the wife of the brother from the mother, and that remains an Isser of Eishes Ach, and therefore they're off the hook, and also the Sarah is off the hook as well. So it's Eishes Achiv Me'imo, the wife of his brother from his mother. So we add to this whole case over here, because if you just would have said it straight up, you would have said, of course he doesn't marry her, because it's Eishes Ach, and it's from the mother, and that's no good. But what happens to Yitzchak from the father, which this ended up being? But since it was originally from the mother, therefore, it was off entirely and never actually made the cut. That was case number 13. Beep, turn the page. Beis Amid Beis, number 14. Now we get into another case we haven't seen yet, and that is Ve'eshes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Now you have the wife of the brother that wasn't in the world. What does that mean? That means, again, let's go with Reuven. We're going to actually see three brothers eventually, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. But Reuven and Levi were never actually alive at the same time. So what happens is that Reuven marries a woman, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven marries a woman named Sarah. And then Reuven dies and he has no kids. So now Sarah goes false to Shimon to do Yibam. Okay, so now the reason that it is because Eshesach is Aser, but they also have that leniency called Yibam. However, that only applies to Shimon because Shimon was around at the time. Now, their papa has another kid named Levi. So now it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven's dead already. Levi is now born. And the halacha is that Levi is not allowed to be with the wife of Reuven at all since he wasn't around at the time that he was alive. He wasn't alive at that time ever. So he never had this heter of Eishes Ach called Yibam because he wasn't alive with him at the same time. It's only according to the ones that are alive at the time that that could be. So what happens is now is that Shimon ends up marrying Sarah. Reuven, again's wife was Sarah. Shimon ends up marrying her. And then he marries another woman named Rivka from the Shuk, no shaykhus to this relationship. And now Shimon ends up dying with no children, and now these two women, Sarah and Rivka, fall to Levi. However, since Sarah was usher to Levi because of Eshes Ach of Reuven, because he wasn't alive at the time, therefore she's pater, and Rivka is along with that, she's pater as well from Yibam or Chalitza. Rashi points out, if you're important to know, that Eshes Ach is an Isser of Kares, and that only gets lifted if you fall into the category of Yibam or Chalitza. Well, I guess technically Yibam. Where do we get this concept that I have to be alive at the time? But the Rashi brings the pasuk because it says, "Ki yeshu achim yachdav shayse lehem yeshiva achas ba'olam," that they were together at the same time in the world. And finally, case number 15 is vikalasa. Vikalasa means, and this person's daughter-in-law. So again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven has a son. He has a son by the name of Yitzchak. Yitzchak ends up going ahead, and he marries someone named Rivka. So beautiful. Reuven is a son of Yitzchak and a daughter named Rivka. But then Yitzchak ends up dying. Now, Reuven is not allowed to marry his daughter-in-law. So fine. What ends up happening? His brother named Shimon ends up marrying his ex-niece. So what happens? He marries this girl, Rivka, and another one, Leah, from the Shuk. And now Shimon dies, so Shimon's wives, Rivka, Reuven's former daughter-in-law, and Leah should fall to him. But because of the fact that Rivka was the daughter-in-law of Reuven, therefore she's pater from Chalitza and Yibam, because it's called Erva, and also his pater's Leah, this girl from the Shuk as well. Beautiful. So those are the 15 cases that we have. I would love to say I'm going to repeat them, but I'm not going to. Now, we already said this in our introduction, but now we're going to read it inside. Hare Elu. So all these cases are potros tsarasein. The tsaras, not only are the original person going to be pater from doing Yibam Chalitza, but also the tsaras are going to be vitsaras tsarasein min Chalitza or min Yibam at sofa olam. Like we said, that if you have the woman and the tsara are now usher to this original person, to let's say Reuven, now just because they go ahead and marry another brother and then the original wife, let's say, is knocked out, so wives number 2 and 3, if the second brother dies now, go back to Reuven, since you had wife number 2 was already off the hook as a tsara of wife number 1, because wife number 1, let's say, is the daughter of Reuven, Lamashal, and therefore 2 is off and 2 remains off and passes on to the next one and 3 as well. And now if they marry another brother, then and then 2 gets out of the picture, and there's 3 and 4, so 3 and 4 will never go to Reuven either. And then if 3 gets a picture, and then we get another brother, 4 and 5, and so on and so forth, at Sof Ha'olam. Now, as we're about to say, I'll just say it outside and read it inside. All these cases that the tsaros are going to be off the hook as well is only if they were married at the time that... So again, let me make it clear. Let's go with the classic case. We said you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is a daughter. Let's say, let's call her right now woman number 1. And now Shimon marries woman number 1 and woman number 2, who's totally from the Shuk. And now what's going to happen is if Shimon dies, so number 1 is not going to go to her father, and number 2 is going to be off the hook because of that. However, let's say you have, let's again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is a daughter named Sarah. Shimon marries Sarah. And he also marries a woman from the Shuk named Rivka. If it happens to be that now Shimon dies, now everyone's off the hook from doing Yibam Chalitza because of Reuven's daughter. What happens if Reuven and Shimon are brothers and Shimon marries Reuven's daughter, and another from the Shuk? And then what ends up happening is, let's say, he gets divorced to her from his niece. So now if he gets divorced, obviously before he dies, so his wife, who's from the Shuk, actually would end up doing, who's the tzara of this woman, she now would end up doing Yibum because there's no longer this block of this of the daughter involved. So now it says, V'kulan, in all these cases, im mesu, if let's say the erva died, o mionu, or she did mion, which I'll explain in a second, onis garshu, or she ends up getting divorced, o shenimtsu islandis, or she ends up being an island, so I'll explain in a second, so we're saying mutaros, their mutter to do yibum, and if necessary, then chalitza. What is mion? Mion is talking about a case of, let's say you have a father that ends up dying. So when a father ends up dying, now the brother of a girl who's not yet a gedola, or a mother can go and marry off this girl to somebody else, but it's only a kiddushin derabanan, and if she decides that she wants to walk away, then she could walk away from this without any sort of get. So Rashi points out, how are you going to have an issue over here of her father still being alive, and then her doing miyun, and then the tzara end up going and being able to do Yibum with her father, if we know that Mion is only if the father is already dead. And so Rashi gives a case, we're talking about a case of what's known as Mion, even B'chayi Ha'av. For example, if let's say the father married her off, and then what happened was, she ends up becoming an almana, or she gets divorced. She either gets divorced or her husband dies. In such a case, then she leaves her shush of the father and she falls into what's called the category of yesoma b'chayavia. She's like an orphan, but while her father's still alive, v'holcha v'nis la'achiv, and then the brother goes and marries her off, then that's called the derabanan dikadin, and she can go out with mion without any sort of get. So in such a case, if that ends up happening, then there's a tzara over here, then the tzara goes straight to her father, and she doesn't impact that relationship at all. What is an islandess, you ask? An islandess is a person who's not able to have a child. If not able to have a child, then the kiddushin is batel limafreya. It's called a mekach taos, a false sail. And therefore, it wasn't like they were married at all. And since they weren't married at all, therefore, the tzara now goes to... So again, if you have Reuven and Shimon, Reuven's daughter is an islandess married to Shimon, and Shimon is another wife also from the Shuk. Since she was an islandess, therefore, the marriage is like it never was, and the tzara ends up being just the only wife, and therefore going to the brother, who's the father of the islandess. Now the Mishnah points out a very logistical situation, circumstance, and clarifies that this case is, or only talking about Yetayocha Lomer b'chamoso ve'im chamoso ve'im chamiv shenimtsu islandess. You're not able to go and to say that all these cases are talking about, you can't say the case of the mother-in-law or the mother's of the mother-in-law or the mother of the father-in-law that turned out to be an islandess, because obviously they're not an islandess, so they ended up having kids. Oh, Shemiano, you can't bring the case of Mian also by these people, by the mother-in-laws and the father's mother-in-law and the mother's, etc. What is the case again? The mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother and the father-in-law's mother. Can't bring Mian because Mian doesn't apply in such a case. It only applies by a katana, and clearly she wasn't having kids when she was so little. That's going to be the case. So it has to be that she was older. So Mian doesn't apply to that case. Now the Mishnah just goes and spells out ideas again that we've already discussed a number of times thus far about how it works that the arayos are going to be poter the tzarosein. So the Gemara spells it out. Mishnah spells out ketzad. Ketzad poter the tzarosein. How does it go ahead that you're going to have an erva is going to poter the tzara? So they have to chalitza yibam. We have haisa bito. Oh, achas mikol arayos ha'ila nesuos la'achiv. Let's say Reuven, who has a daughter and married to Reuven's brother named Shimon. Velo isha acheres, he has another wife also, a mason, then he ends up dying. Kishem shabito patur, just like his daughter is pater, so kach tzaros ha'patur, she's also going to be pater as well. Now, what about tzaros, how does that work? Holcha tzaros bito v'nises le'achiv ha'sheni. Let's say that what ends up happening is that the tzaras bito, so you have wife number two, right? Because you had wife number one was the daughter, wife number two was the tzara. And now let's say wife number two goes and marries the brother number three, Levi, and now they have another wife as well. Halcha tzaras bito v'nises le'achiv asheni v'lo, and he has Ishacheres, another wife, v'umeis, and then the Levi ends up goes, and he now dies, and so your wife two and three are connected to that. Kishem, Shetzara's bita p'tur, just like number two, which was the tzara of his original, of number one, meaning his daughter is pater, kach tzara's sarasa p'tur, she's pater as well. Afilu heimea even ends up continuing down the line to be 100 people like this. Now, what about the case that we discussed, that if one of them die or get divorced, then the tzara'sayin are going to be mutter, ketzad, and mesu tzara'sayin, and mesu, if they end up dying, the one that's an erva, so let's say the daughter, number one, so Reuven Shimon and Reuven's daughter marries Shimon, but then she ends up dying, and Shimon marries another woman also, and she ends up dying in the meantime, or they end up getting divorced. So I'm saying Mutaris, they can do Yibum and the Yibum. Haysa Bito, O Achas Mikola Rayos Ha'elu Nesuos La'achiv. I read that wrong. The Mishnah is asking, Ketzad im Mesu, Tzarasein Mutaris. What would be that case? That is, Harisa Bito, O Achas Mekol Arayos Ha'ilu Nesuos La'achiv, if the Bito or one of the Arayos are married to the brother, Velo Isha Charis, he's another wife, O Mesa Bito in his Gasha, or she dies, or he ends up getting divorced. V'achakach Mesa La'achiv, then the brother dies, Tzarasein Mutaris, she's Mutar to go and do Yibum now. The Mishnah just ends off with one final idea, and that is that if, let's say, Reuven and Shimon, brothers, Reuven is a daughter, and now she ends up marrying the brother, and this marriage is a derabbanandika marriage, right? But through Mian, like we discussed already, she can just walk away at any stage, either with her father being alive, still like the case we explained in Rashi. Anytime you have that type of situation that's going on, it's a derabbanandika marriage. Derabbanandika marriage means midoraisa that's not married at all. And therefore, the other wife that's from the shuk is not really called even a tzara midoraisa. It's just midorabbanandika tzara. So what do you do in such a circumstance? Says the Mishnah now, that v'chole yecholu l'moin, anytime that this erva is able to do miyun, and therefore just walk out, no get involved, no nothing, it just falls apart. Therefore, the nisun, we know this marriage is only derabbanan, v'lo miyana, even if she doesn't do mian, so now they're like somewhat connected, and now what ends up happening, the husband, Shimon, ends up dying. What happened? What did they do? So, kol yichon lamoin, and then, below miana, tsarasa choletzes, and velo misya bemes. Really, midaraisa, it's not called the tsara, so you have to do either yibam or chalitza. So we say, what do? You should do chalitza over here. Do chalitza and don't do yibum. This is a gezerah midrabanan. Why? Because this case looks very similar to a regular case and of a tzaras erva. And so midaraisa, they actually have to do yibum or chalitza. And they say do chalitza just to end it, because if you do yibum, people are going to be confused. How come you just did yibum by a case which is a tzaras erva? It shouldn't be okay altogether. Therefore, we say just do chalitza and walk away from the whole thing. Okay, my friends, that is a mission. Welcome to Maseches Yevamos. As you can see, it's comprehensive, and again, like I recommend, very worthwhile to get some sort of charts to work with. Okay, welcome to all the newbies. Mazel tov to all those who've been with us, and we're gonna stop over here. Wish all y'all a great, great day.